It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Al Horford, 2-for-2, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
All right, Sports Hub Celtics Show. Get ready. Pivot on a dime here, Ty. Did you ever play the game? Did you ever play in the NBA? Did you ever play basketball? Did you ever play the game, Ty? Huh? Shoes on the other foot now, eh?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you?
I was terrible. I was so bad.
I was too.
Just picture out like the size of Isaiah Thomas, but with no skill and even worse hips somehow. And that's me, baby.
You had hip issues.
I have everything issues.
Yeah.
My body, like, I sound like a lobster banquet getting out of bed. There's just so much cracking and just bad noises happening when I get out of bed every morning.
How old are you?
I am 27.
27 and your body's doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not great.
Yeah, somebody was like, what's it like to be 27? And I, like, made them, like, feel my shoulder. And, like, it, like, pops in and out. I'm like, yeah, that's what it feels like. Like, oh, that's awful. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Is it from all the typing?
I don't know what it's from.
It's like severe carpal tunnel. It's worked all the way up to your shoulder.
Being in really tight quarters my whole life.
You know what, Ty? Quite frankly, I don't want to hear about it. If it's not life-threatening, then I really don't want to hear about it.
There's no punctured lung.
Yeah. Yeah. They puncture your lung on a keyboard. Come talk to me. 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics Show. Adam Jones, Ty Anderson with you until 1 o'clock. Joe Murray takes over at that point. Felger Maz live from St. Louis beginning at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Game 3 comes your way tonight. I say a little after 8. It's going to be like an 8:20 puck drop. Here on the Sports Hub. I thought Chris Forsberg wrote something interesting this week over at NBC Sports Boston. It's a good jumping off point for, I think, the entire Celtics offseason. Kawhi Leonard was a player who was available last year. Obviously, he got dealt to Toronto in what turned out to be, I think, a great deal for the Raptors. Like, even if they lose Kawhi Leonard, they're in the NBA Finals. They weren't getting there with DeMar DeRozan. They needed to change the chemistry of what they had. They needed to change the makeup of the team. So I think for Toronto, regardless, that's a great deal. You know, if the Celtics are trading Jason Tatum for 1 year of Anthony Davis, that might be a separate debate. But I think it's a great deal for Toronto, regardless. Kawhi was available. Danny Ainge balked at the asking price. He wanted to do draft picks. He wanted to do draft assets. He did not want to trade one of their young potential all-star players. I think Jaylen Brown is a notch below Jason Tatum for sure, but Jaylen Brown's a good young player. That's who the Spurs wanted. Danny didn't want to do that. I think looking back at that, that was a clear missed opportunity. I said at the time I would have traded Jaylen for Kawhi Leonard, and that's not knowing a lot about Kawhi Leonard. I acknowledged all of the warts, all the flaws on the player. He was maybe injured, quote-unquote injured. He shut it down on his team. So now that's an attitudinal, motor issue with Kawhi Leonard. And on top of it, you just don't know what kind of player he was. With 1 year left on his deal, maybe you lose him for there are a million questions about him. I would have done it. I acknowledge the risk, but I would have done it. And, you know, look at where Toronto is now. So you look at that missed opportunity and where the Celtics, you know, miscalculated along the way. I know just from talking with you before the show today, you agree. You think Kyrie's gone.
Yeah, I don't see him sticking around.
Okay. So I don't think let's not even bother with the Kyrie aspect of it, okay? Because we've all talked about Kyrie a million times, and if he comes back, I'll be shocked. It'll be a pleasant surprise if he comes back, but I'd be shocked. I say it'd be a pleasant surprise to put up with more Kyrie Irving, but you know, whatever. I'd still take him back on a long term deal. Are you shaking your head over there, McCone?
Yeah, I'm all set.
You don't want him on any deal.
No.
Would you take him on a long term deal?
I would, because I think he brings other people here.
Okay. So
that's half the battle in the NBA.
My real quick spiel here, McCone, is that on a long-term deal, I think a lot of your problems with Kyrie go away. I think a lot of it was rooted in him being uncertain about, well, maybe not uncertain, people around him being uncertain about what he wanted to do. That made the whole team uncomfortable. They had to walk on eggshells with him. You don't want him even on a long-term deal.
No, I don't think he can be a team leader. And ultimately, too, I mean, you go back and you look at the history, he's never healthy. I mean, I think this was the third time in his career that he played over 65 games. So you're talking about investing a max contract in a guy that doesn't have knees at 27 years old and a point guard that I don't think can be your number one. And even if you bring in an Anthony Davis type, I mean, let's break down what Anthony Davis did this year. He quit on his team with, you know, 2 years left on his contract, right? And then to the last game, wore a t-shirt that said, "That's all, folks," and then got called on it and said, "I don't dress myself."
Yep.
So that guy's not going to be your team leader. It's going to be Kyrie again. And I don't think you can win a championship if Kyrie is your team leader.
Yeah.
You guys dress yourself?
I honestly, I do dress myself, but I don't pick out any of my wardrobe. Like, meaning, like, I don't buy anything I own. My wife just buys everything. So I get to pick it out. I get to dress myself, but I don't purchase anything for myself. Okay. Like, I didn't buy this. I mean, I dress like a scrub
totally
anyway.
Fair.
I yeah. dress like a scrub anyways, but like, I don't buy any of my own stuff. No.
So maybe that,
but
maybe
I do dress myself. I do physically put it on myself. I am allowed to do that.
It's funny if Anthony Davis doesn't dress himself, like, in any sense. It's like, no, I need this, and then you put him on.
No, I have,
dude, you're like 7 feet tall. This
I have
is very
people
difficult.
For that. Yeah. If I were as rich as him, I would have people dress me. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If I get that Felger money in radio, I will have people dressing me. That's what I'll have. Do you think I'm going to dress myself? No chance. So anyway, speaking of Anthony Davis, and that's a good segue into what we want to talk about. Should Danny Ainge learn from Kawhi Leonard on Anthony Davis? In other words, let's assume Kyrie Irving's gone. Okay, I think he's gone, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Nets, whether it's L.A., who cares? The fact of the matter is he's most likely gone. If he comes back, I guess it'd be a pleasant surprise for me and you, Ty. McCone would hate it over there. That's fine. I don't think he's back. Should Danny learn from what we just went through with Kawhi Leonard and say, yeah, I know it would be a rental, and I know it's only 1 year and there's a lot of risk in trading for someone like Anthony Davis, but Danny should also acknowledge it's my job to sell the player on Boston. Oklahoma City sold Paul George. Oklahoma City sold Paul George. There was a report last night from the True Hoop Network, and there's been a lot of counter reports, so who knows how much stock to put in it, that Kawhi Leonard is rumored to take a short-term deal to stay in Toronto. If a whole nother country with a kid from Southern California, a whole nother country can sell Kawhi Leonard on staying in Toronto, Oklahoma City can sell Paul George on staying in Oklahoma City, then the Celtics should be able to sell Anthony Davis. Trade Jason Tatum, do the one-year thing with Davis, roll the dice. Should Danny Ainge have learned from Kawhi Leonard? 617-779-0985. I think he should have. I'd still make that trade with or without Kyrie. Would you, Ty?
The Leonard trade or
no,
the Davis
well,
trade?
Well, no, the Davis trade.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not, because if I'm trading for Anthony Davis.
But you so did you not learn anything from Kawhi?
Well, it's for me, that's different because I liked where you were a year ago versus the uncertainty of this year.
Yeah. And giving up Tatum, in fairness, is more. Like, I'll give you that. Like, Tatum's a tougher trade piece to part with than Jaylen Brown.
So I look at that and I say, if I'm adding Anthony Davis to this mix and Kyrie Irving is gone, I want it to be a Tatum and Davis combination for the future, because I think that ensures your best chance at winning long term versus 1 year of Anthony Davis, oh, and now your future is Terry Rozier, maybe, if he still wants to sacrifice as much as he sacrificed this past year and wants to be here.
Thoughts, T's and P's to Terry Rozier, yeah. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, a broken Gordon Hayward, and an aging Al Horford for 1 year of Anthony Davis. That could leave you in ruins. If he doesn't stay, if you don't sell him and you just have just that core, now you don't have Tatum to go with it. That now you're back to square one. This beautiful rebuild that you had where you traded off Pearson Garnett for all these picks and this what feels like a 6 year window here just goes out the window and it's back to square one. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but there is risk in being risk averse, if that makes sense, right? And the risk is, okay, well, you didn't trade for Kawhi, you swung and missed there. You don't trade for Anthony Davis now, fine. What if Tatum and Brown don't pan out? You know, what if they're not what you think they are? Or what if they're great, but the team plateaus and they're just a middle of the pack Eastern Conference team and you never win squat because you never went for it, because you were too afraid to go for it, because you were too risk averse. So I feel like everyone acknowledges the risk in, well, what if you trade for him and he leaves? Well, it's Danny's job to sell the guy on Boston. Like, that is part of your job, Danny. Your job is to trade for the guy and then get him to stay. Like, Sam Presti figured that out in Oklahoma City. maybe Toronto will figure that out with Kawhi Leonard. I guess we don't know the story there yet. That'd be your job. Would you do the one-year deal? Would you trade for Anthony Davis, Tim?
No, you can't. And I don't think you can compare the Kawhi Leonard thing.
Well, you can.
I mean, you could. Yeah. But I think it would be a dumb move by Ainge. Because I think it's a totally different situation than Toronto had. And you touched on it.
It's a lot of similarities, though. Like, Anthony Davis forced his way out. Anthony Davis shut it down with an injury. Anthony Davis is never healthy.
No, the players are similar. Yeah. But I'm saying the situation that Toronto was in versus the situation that Boston in, I think, is completely different. Like, so, Toronto was a team that had reached its peak in terms of what they were going to be.
They were more
core.
Desperate. Yeah.
And so, look, you weren't going to make the finals with DeRozan, like you said. So you know what? Let's blow it up. If the Kawhi thing works out and we make a finals run, awesome. And then if it doesn't and he leaves, we just start the rebuild. Right now, if you're the Celtics, there's no reason to set the reset button. Like, there's just there's too much risk at this point with what you – because you talked about the rebuild. I mean, the rebuild that took place the last 5 years, you had picks from the Nets. That's not going to happen again. And you have enough players where all of a sudden in the draft, if you hit the rebuild button, it's going to be, what, 15? You're going to be drafting 15, 13. You're not going to – you're just stuck. You're in a horrific situation if you blow it with the assets that you have right now.
617-779-0985. What did Danny Ainge learn from, not going all in on Kawhi Leonard? Should he apply that to Anthony Davis? And how much do we trust Danny Ainge this offseason? I want to get to that with your phone calls. 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics Show. We will get to you next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're here until 1 o'clock. No Gasper, no Murray this week. Big Jim in St. Louis, Felger of Maz, live from, what is it called now, Enterprise Arena?
I thought it was the Scott Trade Center.
That's what I thought it was.
For like the longest time, and now it's Enterprise Center. It'll be something else.
Oh, Enterprise Center.
I think so.
Got
it's
it.
Like a Star Trek ship, I think.
Do they spell it the Canadian way, like C-E-N-T-R-E? Do they spell it that way or no?
That's how you always spell center.
No. You spell it E-R.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said it the regular way.
No,
it's regular. No, it's... No, we're...
Yeah, but it's hockey.
It's a good point.
They're an ER. Yeah.
It's an ER?
Mm-hmm.
You fact-checked me over there?
Fact-checked.
All right. I'm spreading gossip, spreading rumors here. So anyway, they're live from just outside Enterprise Center or whatever they call it now.
Did you see them on TV yesterday?
No, you know what? I actually did not.
So they're like in the middle of outside the arena. They're at like the NBC Sports Boston like desk setup. All you saw all day was just old men walking by and looking at it being like, what is that? Like just all day long. Just...
Were they all in, like, Cardinals gear, like Stan Musial jerseys, like I'd imagine?
Yeah, they all have the stirrups.
Yeah. I saw Stan the Man play.
Honus Wagner jerseys everywhere you look.
Yeah. I saw that Bob Gibson. He was a tough guy. 617-779-0985. So here's my question with Danny Ainge and with the Celtics this offseason. I wonder what Ainge learned from the Kawhi Leonard experience last year. Like, yeah, there's risk in acquiring a guy with 1 year on his deal. There's also reward to it. There's upside. Toronto is reaping that right now. And again, losing DeRozan and Toronto had plateaued, as Tim said before, is different than trading away Jason Tatum for a year and then all of a sudden having nothing left to show for it. That is different, but I don't know, if you're getting a top five player in Anthony Davis, that may be worthwhile in and of itself. And on top of that, it's Danny's job and the organization's job to sell him on Boston. Like, that's what Toronto's trying to do. We'll see if they fail on it or not. Paul George was sold in Oklahoma City. So I wonder if they learned from that. If they did, I wonder what they learned from that. And I wonder how much fans trust Danny Ainge this offseason. And the reason I ask, Ainge, when it comes to trades, they're impeccable. You know, it's hard to find a loss for Danny. Ironically, the Kyrie trade may wind up being a loss. I would have made it a bazillion times out of a bazillion times. I would have made it every day of the week. But that may wind up being a loss. It's probably going to wind up being a loss when Kyrie leaves. The only way they can salvage it is by keeping him.
How? How could it be a loss? Traded a broken Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder.
Well, they got nothing out of Kyrie. That's how.
Yeah, but they would have got the same out of Isaiah and Crowder.
Right, but Cleveland wound up getting something for Kyrie and the Celtics are going to get nothing for him.
What are the Celtics... So the Cavaliers got Isaiah. Crowder, and they spun it into what, 2 months of Rodney Hood and George Hill
And Colin Sexton. And Colin Sexton. So I don't even think he's going to be a great player. I'm not sold on Colin Sexton or anything.
I hate this take, in case you can't tell.
No, I trust
the
me. Felger, I don't
the Felger take.
I don't. I don't want him to be right, but he's if and when Kyrie leaves, he's going to be right. Like I just I don't know that you can argue with it. I'm it's a valiant effort over there, and I'm happy you're trying to do it. But I don't know that it can be done. I really don't. They have something to show for Kyrie.
You know? I would still take what the Celtics did for the last 2 years over two months of Hood.
Most of what they did was better without Kyrie.
No, still, but the idea that you were going all in for it, I think you could have done that with Isaiah, but Isaiah was clearly broken, and Crowder was miserable. He would have been miserable here.
So all that's fine. Let's not get bogged down in this, right? Like that one may wind up being a loss for Danny Ainge. Trades generally are impeccable, though. Even minor trades, like Bradley for Marcus Morris has been a freaking home run. You know, and I hated that trade when he made it. Like, that's been a home run. The Isaiah trade to start was a home run. He made out well on the Rondo trade. Go back to the Brooklyn Nets trade, getting rid of Garnett and Pierce for draft picks that were still paying dividends up to this draft. So
the Tatum trade.
You know,
getting an extra pick out of Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, and was that as great as we initially thought? Maybe not, but, you know, we'll see. You know, who they wind up getting with 14 is where that pick is.
Yep.
14. So his trades are great. His free agency, I think, is a little overrated because one of their big ticket free agents they landed, A, stinks, and B, you know, knew the coach. So I don't know how great of a free agent landing that was. Al Horford, you know, we can go back and forth on. I think he's overpaid, but he's a good player. And I think his draft track record is spotty. So when it comes to Danny Ainge moving pieces around the board this offseason, how much do you trust him? And I do think there's something to be said about the trades he hasn't made or that he's been too afraid to make, whether it was George, Butler, Cousins, the latest being Kawhi, and now maybe Anthony Davis. Like, do you trust him to push those right buttons this offseason? Because let's face it, last year, for as much as we thought of the team, last year the offseason was not great and there was zero in-season movement for this team, which I thought was a problem. So I want to check where Celtics fans are at on Danny Ainge and the job that he's doing. Are fans down a little bit on what he's done? 617-779-0985. How much do you trust him, Ty?
So I look at this. We just talked about it. I don't want to trade Tatum for Anthony Davis, but I do wonder if Danny Ainge has learned now that you can't always have an eye on the future. You have to sort of live in the present, because I think that last year they were so, they go, we have all these assets, we have all these young players, we have all these veteran players, that they forgot about their present. They were so focused on the future that they forgot to do the best things necessary for their present. And I think that that is something that I hope sort of changes now. Is he more willing to move some of his surpluses, whether it's a point guard like last year, Rozier obviously would be a case, Marcus Smart, whether you want to trade him now or not, you know, whatever. But
I would trade him, but yes.
But yeah, and you have Brown, and you have Tatum, and you have Hayward. It's like, okay, you have surpluses here. How do you use that to your advantage? Are you willing to use that to your advantage? Because I think last year was a complete mess because you had too many bodies. You had too many guys that wanted the same role, and it made it hard for this team to ever be on the same page, as we all learned. So I do wonder now if he looks at it differently and says, I can't focus on 3 years from now. I have to focus on what gives me the best chance to win right now, which is what he should do. With this core, if they keep Kyrie, if Horford doesn't opt out, or if he does and he comes back, whatever the case may be, they're a team built to win now. You can't keep saying, we got to have enough assets for the next big fish. You got to get that guy now, I think.
Well, yeah, and why are you always prioritizing? You know, this honestly was a long-time criticism of me with the Patriots, and then they, you know, have been winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl.
Just casually.
But, you know, for a while, this is always my criticism of Bill. It's like, why are you always worried about next year's draft? When are you going to worry about this year? Like, when are you going to worry about cashing in the assets? You don't always need assets for the future. At some point, you got to use them. And at some point, they got to start doing something for you. And I do think Celtics fans should have gotten a bit of a cold dose of reality that, wow, the assets in abstract always sound great. Sometimes in reality, not so much. That Kings pick sounded amazing. It's 14. And, you know, you can find Giannis in that range. You can find Kawhi Leonard in that range. You know, more than likely, that guy's not going to be a player. It's not impossible, but more than likely that guy's not going to be a player. And I think there's even a bit of a reality with some of the young players on this team. It's like, wow, Jason Tatum's going to be an all-star. Oh, wait, Jason Tatum had growing pains. Wow, Jaylen Brown is going to be, you know, I don't know. Is he going to be Kawhi Leonard or something like that?
oh, wow, Jaylen Brown actually really struggled early on in the year before finishing hot. Terry Rozier, he's scary Terry. Like, it was a cold dose of reality. Even with the young players who showed flashes, you're like, oh, wow, it's not always linear. The development's not always linear. And sometimes players plateau. Sometimes players have a breakout year and then fall back to earth. Sometimes they have a breakout stretch in the postseason like Terry Rozier and fall back to earth. And I just wonder what the appetite is for, okay, if Kyrie's not back and if they're not trading for Anthony Davis, are Celtics fans okay with now taking a step back and going, okay, we're going to go with the young guys and we're going to grow and try to cash in another 2-3 years? Like, do fans have an appetite for that? I honestly don't know. I think that'd be the right move if Kyrie leaves and if they don't trade for Anthony Davis. I rationally think that's the right move. But I don't blame fans who are like, well, we were told to wait now for a long time. We were told they were rebuilding. Then they were supposed to be a title contender. They're not. So now we're back to rebuilding again. And now we have to wait again. And now we have to be patient. I would be frustrated as a fan.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I think, clearly I'm in the medium here where I don't want to give up Tatum, but I do want them to make a move because I think they have to. You have to do something. So it's exploring the market. And we talk about trusting Danny Ainge. My question is, does the rest of the league trust Ainge? He's beaten them on so many trades now that I feel like it's going to be difficult for the Celtics to make a trade because teams are sick of losing to Danny Ainge and looking like idiots. I think the Sixers look dumb.
Well, besides Dan Gilbert, of course.
Yes.
Well, Dan Gilbert and the Cavs pulled the wool over Danny Ainge's eyes, and they're killing it in this trade, and that's a big L for Danny when Kyrie leaves.
Dan Gilbert is a crazy person, by the way.
Anybody who writes in Comic Sans is
truly sick individual.
And it was like a pastel colored Comic Sans. It wasn't even like black and white. It was like a pastel colored Comic Sans. Anybody who writes in that is a legit certified crazy person.
And it was like a threat too. It was a guarantee. He said, "I guarantee we're going to win before the Heat do," and then that obviously didn't happen.
Nope.
But I think that there needs to be a healthy medium here where, like, I would love Anthony Davis, but I don't see how it gets done without Jason Tatum. I don't think it does because David Griffin's not a dummy. Like, he's the new guy in charge of with the Pelicans, and he's pretty much going to get the best offer there is out there, I think, whether it's from the Lakers or from the Celtics. Clearly, we all feel that the Celtics have a better offer than most teams out there because of Jason Tatum. So that's sort of the problem there, is how can you make a trade happen without doing that? I don't know if you can, but I do want to see some sort of balls here, for lack of a better word, from Danny Ainge in this front office, knowing that, listen, the Knicks are going to build a super team. We know that's going to happen, whether it's Durant or Irving.
The Nets might. You just mentioned teams lurking for Anthony Davis. If they trade D'Angelo Russell, they bring in Anthony Davis, they have some room to bring in big-ticket free agents, maybe the Nets are going to do that. And all of a sudden, the East, your division is ridiculously hard. So the Sixers are already there, Toronto's already there, the Knicks and Nets are lurking.
And you might be close to being the Raptors right now, right? Where you have to make this move. You have to make the Kawhi Leonard move because you're looking around, you're saying, we might be getting passed right now. Especially because you know the Bucks aren't going anywhere.
You're not saying they got to fire G. Willikers, are you? That's not what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, well, Toronto fired their coach, so I didn't know if that's where you're. Going with that.
No, I'm saying maybe this is when you do
G. Willikers. I got Ty Anderson firing me on a Saturday. G. Willikers.
You got the old cash in.
Trying to enjoy the cup over here. I got Ty Anderson coming after me.
He's working harder than ever. They're saying he's locked down.
Oh, Brad? Oh, yeah. No, I saw.
Mike Shrewsbury said this.
Yeah, no, I saw. He's all in. He's rejuvenated. He's learned.
Which is like, that's great, but what's your roster?
No, he's,
you can learn all you want.
No, he's excited. He wants to coach a bunch of college kids again. He doesn't want to coach NBA players. He wants to coach a bunch of college kids. I get it. He's like, yeah, I'll coach up the young fellas. Sure. Get these stars out of here. Get them out of my hair. 617-779-0985. Tim McCone has all the latest in your hub headlines. I had a quick thought on the finals with Toronto leading 1-0. And we'll get to all your Celtics thoughts next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zone for sports on your phone. Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Pats News, podcasts. Listen live from anywhere.
Something is the key to all of this.
98.5, the Sports Hub. That's an app. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Raptors, in the franchise's first appearance in the NBA Finals, get the victory here in Game 1. Now, you saw some talking there between Drake and Draymond Green. The excitement in this building and outside throughout the city off the charts, and the Raptors respond.
Hey, free Hortons for everyone. Get your Timbits. Game 1 victory. The Great White North takes down the NBA's dynasty, the Golden State Warriors. Who was that? Was that even the call from Toronto? I don't even think it was.
Might be national. I don't know.
Was that Breen? Who was that? That's Ed McCone shaking
his head. It was Breen, yeah.
Breen. Yeah. We actually talked about play-by-play guys very briefly on the show last night. I think Dr. Michael Emmerich, I think he's a little overrated. I don't know how you feel about that, Ty.
Star! Bruins! Blackhawks!
It's the Bruins and the Blackhawks.
Nicest man in the world, though.
Next. Yeah, I think he's a little overrated. I didn't say anything about him as a guy. I just said I think he's a little overrated.
There was one clip where the Bruins won in the shootout, and he was so excited, he said, Brains! Instead of Bruins, he's like, Brains win! And it's one of my favorite clips in the world. I haven't seen it on my phone, and I refuse to delete it, because it's just so funny to me.
I like it. So we got into play-by-play guys, and my roundabout point is that Mike Breen is just... What does Mike Breen do?
I don't get it. I don't get the
He's just kind of there. Yeah. Nice voice, I guess.
Who's your guy?
I like Buck. That's not an NBA guy, I understand, but if you're asking me who the number one play-by-play guy is, it's Joe Buck.
Interesting. I'm a Sean McDonough guy.
I like Sean McDonough.
Yeah.
Do like Sean McDonough.
I like Kevin Harlan.
See, Harlan's the kind of guy I don't really like Kevin Harlan very much. Kevin Harlan to me is like a Gus Johnson, mm-hmm. where he's all about like, I'm gonna yell a whole lot and I'm going to make a nice highlight out of it. Kevin Harlan I like better than Gus Johnson. I really dislike Gus Johnson.
What about Gus Johnson in the tournament, though?
No, dislike him.
Oh, no, I think he's made for the NCAA tournament.
No, yeah, that's like what he does. What do you mean? That's all he does. What else is he doing?
He hasn't done it in years now.
Well, that's true. That's actually a good point.
Follow the free agency of play-by-play guys like a nerd like me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big Gujo guy. Oh, it's Gujo. He's going nuts again. He's so zany. I like Joe Buck. But I understand. Joe Buck, the Red Sox lost in the ALCS in 2003, and everybody thinks Joe Buck hates the Red Sox because of it, so people are still butthurt around here about it. So people don't like that I like Joe Buck. That's fine. I think Joe Buck's the best play-by-play guy. Anyway, that started with Mike Emmerich. Mike Breen, kind of just there. Mm. Like, you don't even notice him on the broadcast with Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. I didn't even notice who that was last night. I just heard the call. I thought that might have been the Toronto call, for God's sakes. So anyway, quick thought on the NBA Finals tie. Number one, is Golden State in trouble? Number two, do they need Kevin Durant?
They need Kevin Durant. They're not in trouble, though, because we've seen this before. This team is just so good. And the way they switch and the way they move around is unbelievable to me. If their shots go down, they're going to be fine in game two. I love the fact they lost. This is such a weird thing for me because I really don't want to see Toronto fans happy ever. It's just I enjoy the fact they're miserable all the time.
Oh, yeah, you had a whole thing with them, right?
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Is this like years? Is this like years running, or was it really?
This is very, very long running.
So you have a personal thing with Toronto?
Yes, yeah. I don't want to see them happy at all. I want them to be miserable forever.
It's so funny, these polite Canadians just going back and forth.
They're the meanest people on the internet.
Getting their Hortons.
They are so mean on the internet. I don't like them at all. They are the St. Louis Blues of the internet. And I would say that...
These big meanies up in Canada.
But I hate Golden State. I'm so sick of Golden State. You can imagine...
But do you hate Golden State without Durant? I feel like they're so much less hateable without Durant. Like, with Durant, they are hateable. Without Durant, I'm kind of like...
They don't lose. It's annoying. I don't like it.
They literally just lost.
I know, but that's why I'm very excited about that. But... Toronto's happy. So it's a weird thing here for me.
I'm also in a weird spot. I want Golden State to win without Durant. Like, I want it badly, but I actually am I'm pulling for Toronto. I like Canadians. I'm pulling for Toronto. And I also want to see what happens if Kawhi wins and then bolts. Like, would Kawhi do that? Like, I kind of want to see that whole dynamic. But if Durant comes back, then I will swing 100% to all in on Toronto. If Durant comes back and plays at all in this series, I hope he doesn't. Not because I want him to be, like, you know, seriously injured or anything like that. I think it'd be hysterical if Golden State won without him. They won before he got there. He's like, oh yeah, no, they need. I proved I wasn't riding coattails. I came in. He was a 2-time Finals MVP. Blah blah blah. And then they win again without him. Like, that would be hilarious. So I'm kind of rooting for that, but I actually want Toronto more. So I don't think there'd be a bad outcome, but if you ask me what I'm pulling for, I want Toronto to win.
That's how I feel at the end of the day, too. Like, I really don't like Toronto, but it's the lesser of two evils here. I'm sick of the Golden State Warriors. I know, with or without Durant, I'm just sick of them. It's cool. They're a great team, but I want to see the great teams fail. I hated the Yankees in the 90s. I hated the Red Wings when they were good.
See, that's generally how I feel, too. Even without Durant, and it pushed it closer to me, but even without Durant, I always root against the dynasty.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's just, at a certain point, it gets boring.
The
it's
Yankees, just, you want something different. The Warriors, the Patriots. I root against all the great dynasties. Well, like, I don't want to see a team on top keep winning. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. Who roots for the Patriots?
Kiss the rings, baby. That's what they, that's what they're all going to say. No, I honestly, it's just, I can't do the Warriors anymore. Like, it's, they've changed the NBA forever.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. You're that's you in Toronto right now. You and Toronto fans.
And it's a weird spot. I'm not a Drake guy either. So this is a first of all.
Oh my goodness. Joe Murray's coming in at 1 o'clock and Joe Murray is like Drake's ride or die.
Really?
Yes.
I don't like this. So this, Drake has tattoos of Durant and Curry's numbers.
Yeah, that's very strange.
That's so bizarre. He's out here. He's like, actually, I'm a big Raptors fan.
You know, that's not. I'm looking at your tattoos now. There's no like 35 or 30 on there.
No, I do not have. I do not get sports tattoos in general.
Well, if you had to get one, who would you get though?
If I had to get one, J.D. Drew, because I was right about him. Only because everyone was like, I hate him. And I'm like, he's going to have a big hit. And then he had that Game 7 Grand Slam. And I was like, oh, look who's right now.
Wait, that was your take? He's going to have a big hit?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you were right. I was going to say, if it was like, was he worth the contract, then no. But if,
nobody's worth the contract.
But if it was, he's going to get a big hit, then you actually were right on J.D. Drew. All right, so you'd get a J.D. Drew tattoo.
Yeah.
It would be
his sweet swing, baby.
I'd get smart on one massive bicep and Jackie Bradley on the other. That's what I would do. That's what I would get.
Get a whole back piece of JBJ's home run trot. It's like the overview.
No. My back is for the little leader. That's I would get. It would be a life size on my back of Dustin Pedroia. McCone, do you think the Warriors are in trouble without Durant?
I don't. I actually think that they're going to win in five now.
So
I think this is one of those series where, like, yeah, they win game one and all of. So it's going to be similar to the Bucks Celtics series.
I likewise have Warriors in five. I also do. There is a scenario where everything's just funny, where the Warriors win in five and they win like when's their next game? Sunday. They, like, blow out Toronto, then they win again in Game 3, and he comes back in Game 4. He's like, oh, crap, I better get out there. They're going to win without me. Yeah. Like, that also would be funny. I think they're going to win in 5. I'm with you on that, but that's not what I want. I'm pulling for Toronto. And, again, the second Durant comes back, I will be not pulling for – I will be all in. Like the way I rooted against LeBron in all the NBA finals – so, like, Golden State was always a weird spot because I root against the dynasty, but I hate LeBron. I'll be rooting against Golden State in that same capacity. Like, I'll have, like, an actual dog in the fight when Durant comes back. Like, I'll be, like, yelling at the TV here on breaks and stuff like that. 617-779-0985. Let's get to some phone calls. Sports Hub Celtic Show. Tom's in Andover. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, it's Tom.
Hello? Yeah, I know it's Tom. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Okay. So I think we go with the youth in the offseason. I think we're let Kyrie go. Let's put Terry at the point guard. And let's rebuild. And I'm a longtime Celtics fan, you know, 30 years, love the Celtics. I'd love to be talking about them on a Saturday afternoon. Even when the Stanley Cup going, I love it. But so long as they're heading in the right direction, you feel like this year is going to be better than last year and the next year is going to be better than that. As a Celtics fan, I'm okay. But I don't think this is, I don't think Kyrie's the answer.
Isn't that amazing, Ty? Isn't it, like, I asked what the appetite is, and it's like, so what? Last year it was, wow, they're gonna contend for a championship, maybe not win a championship, but contend for one. They should be the best team in the East. They should be in the NBA Finals.
They should have been there.
And now it's like, yeah, no, you know what? I'm okay with taking a step back and rebuilding, and I just want them to be better next year than they were last year. It's like, wow. So I always want to take the temperature just to know where Celtics fans are at, but you can't underestimate them. They always come back to being like, yeah, no, I'm okay. Try winning in like 5 years. I got 5 years.
Well, to Tom's point,
no one's worried about anything in their future. Everybody's like, oh yeah, I got 5 years.
He mentioned,
Earth may smash into the sun one day. We're killing our planet slowly, but yeah, I got 5 years. I'll be around 5 years from now. Yeah, sure, I got five more years. Whatever. Danny Ainge won that title one time. Yeah, give him five more years. Another rebuild. Let's do it.
He mentioned Rozier. I mean, who's to say he even wants to be here? He's been pretty open about the fact that he would like to move on.
Well, he said, if we run it back, then I don't see room for me or something like that. I forget the exact quote, but I think if Kyrie's gone, this is just my personal opinion, you may not want it. The face McCone made when he brought up Rozier was classic. If Kyrie's gone, I actually think the best plan is to bring Rozier back and make him your starting point guard. I actually agree with that.
It is, but does that make you a contender in the East?
No, of course not. I mean, you're middle of the pack in the East, but I think that's the best plan. I didn't call it a great plan. I just said I think it's
the best
plan.
Given their cap structure, it might be the only plan. What else could they do?
I mean, go out and sign like a mid-level crappy
like Ricky
point
Rubio?
Guard? No, not. I don't even think they could get Ricky Rubio, but even so, I'd rather have Rozier than Rubio.
I think it's Rondo at the top of that list.
That's
for
so,
guys that you could bring back
that's
in that mid-level.
That's so bad. Yeah. Don't do that. Bring back. You know what they should do? You know what they should do.
Rondo and then trade for Kevin Love?
You know, I did a full summer's worth of show on that being the Celtics teams, and let me tell you, the ratings were not good. No, they bring back Isaiah, obviously.
I was going to say, that's
Isaiah's
what they
do. Obvious guy to bring back. Who wouldn't want that? You would win back all the fans in a second, except for like Lifshatz and Jay Stu. You'd win back all Celtics fans in like a second. Danny, that's the easiest move to make. Bring back Isaiah. You got me right back on board. I'll be complimenting Danny Ainge. I'll apologize to old G Willikers there. Like, you'll get me right back on board if they bring back Isaiah. You would unfreeze my black heart by bringing back Isaiah. So that's the easy move to make. Just go get him, and Danny Ainge would win everybody over.
That's what they're gonna do. I
want them to do that.
I wrote about this earlier.
That'd
this
be amazing.
Too. That feels like the most likely reunion of sorts this summer.
Isaiah. See, you know, I can be a happy guy. I can be a happy-go-lucky.
You're happy now. You'd see him play three games and go, oh, I don't like this at all.
Three games. I'd dump on him in the preseason. But I'm just telling you, I'd like the move. Let's go to Colin in Nashville. Let's squeeze in one more. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Can you?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Good. All right, awesome. Hey, just a couple points. One, I would like to say definitely still on board with Danny Ainge. I mean, overall, he's continued to make the team good year after year. I do recognize that this year has been...
They weren't good this year.
No, absolutely. Complete fail this year. There's no other way to look at it. But, I mean, overall, from a consistency standpoint, he's definitely been there. The other thing that you mentioned, though, around Toronto and how Danny Ainge should take a page out of that and look at Kawhi, I say there's nothing to learn there until either Toronto wins the championship or Kawhi ends up staying. So really, there's nothing there for that.
So, I mean, you know what? That is fair. Like, until Kawhi stays, it's hard to call it like a home run. I think it's a win either way for Toronto because they had to do something, but it's hard to call it a home run. If they keep him, though, we're coming up on 1 o'clock, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub Celtics show. I was about to say Gasper and Murray. Adam Jones, Ty Anderson been hanging out, Tim McCone alongside. We have Joe Murray. We got Hamblin in the building. You guys are going right up until Felger and Maz, eh, Joe?
Yes, the schedule's all crazy today.
I feel like Ty and I had 3 hours in us. We only went till 1 o'clock though. So what do you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to take over here for the next 3 hours. I don't know if Hamblin's going to be here or Tim McCone, but just wanted to lead off thought today. Patrice Bergeron-Jones, I know I was on with you last night. We did 5 hours, but I expect a huge game today from Patrice Bergeron. And I'm not going to pile on Bergeron, but the second line also needs to step up as well because the depth has been everything for the Bees. But just opening thought today, Patrice Bergeron having that maintenance day yesterday, I'm expecting a huge game from him.
What does that mean?
Well, a couple
does that
of
mean
goals,
he actually
maybe
scores like an even strength goal for once? What does that mean?
A couple of helpers, maybe?
A couple of helpers, oh.
Not a couple goals. He's good for it. I mean, you can focus on Bergeron. I focus on his wingers. They've been poopy, to say the least, through two games.
Well, defensively, two-way hockey, they've been bad.
Do you agree that Bergeron skates on criticism, though? Do you agree with that?
He does, because you know why. You know, because you know that he's playing through probably life-threatening injuries right now.
No, I highly doubt it, but it could be. In fairness to him, it actually could be. It could be another punctured lung, for all I know.
He probably removed his heart 2 games ago, and he's still just going. It's like on instinct. He's actually a zombie.
But if
right
he's
now.
Not playing well, why doesn't he get criticized?
I just think because he means so much to that team and that organization and the fans, they're not going to get on him.
So what? So Tom Brady means a lot to the Patriots. We're allowed to criticize Tom Brady.
When you criticize Tom Brady, the phone lines light up with people telling you why.
Yeah,
you
I know, but
do
it's
it.
It's dumb that people are like, you can't criticize him. If he doesn't play well, you should be able to say it about Tom Brady. Same thing with Patrice Bergeron, right?
See, but I don't think he's playing that bad. I really don't.
What's he what's he known for? He's known for being defensively responsible, and he's known for his faceoffs. Those both sucked in game two. Like his line has been scored up. They've given up 3 goals to the Shannon Schwartz and Tarasenko line. They've been on the ice for 3 of those, and he was horrible in the faceoff circle the other night.
Yeah, but hasn't he earned a little more than one game?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying he hasn't earned it or like he sucks all of a sudden, but like his line hasn't been good and he played poorly in game two. They lost game two. That's a big reason why. We should just be allowed to say that, no?
No, we can. I just think the idea that he's skating right now, it's only been one game. Marchand has been bad for the whole series, I think. And I think Pastrnak.
Okay, well, that's only 2 games.
Yeah, but that's still another 60-minute sample.
Twice as many.
Yes.
Was Bergeron great in game one?
I thought he was fine in game one in terms of winning faceoffs and the things that you're mentioning, penalty killing, what
he's
have
on,
you.
He's on the ice for two goals against.
It's a combined minus whatever, as they say, right?
Yep.
Which is not a
thing.
Yeah,
the old combined minus. I think they're a combined minus seven.
Yeah. So, no, I agree with Murray, though. Big game from Bergeron tonight. We'll see. I think they win. Bruins in five. I'm still going with it.
Are you you handing out any free money here today?
Yeah, we got championship.
Oh,
league.
Yeah. What time is three, it's like now, right?
3 o'clock.
Oh, three. Okay, so whatever. It's not like now at all.
Okay, so, well, you're used to being up a little bit later in the day.
That's true. That is true.
3 o'clock today, championship league. I do have a thought on tonight's hockey game and tomorrow's NBA finals as well. And I'm going to discuss Drake, of course.
Oh yeah, I meant to bring that up. So you hate Drake?
Not a Drake guy.
And you're a Drake's ride or die.
I am in on Drake.
How? Why?
I listened to his music and he's good.
It's like a real Sharks and Jets moment.
My whole thing is not an MC. Not an MC, not a gangster. Just a straight flow. The guy can flow.
He doesn't make
you.
My top five.
No way. But I mean,
or my top 10. Like present day, I'm talking. I'm not talking all time.
Listen, he's
I'm
not an all day. 10, top 10 guy anyways.
Waka Flocka.
Out.
Soulja Boy.
Out.
No.
Kendrick.
I'm in on Kendrick. Childish? Kendrick's good.
Guys are having a snap off.
Childish Gambino?
Yeah, I like him too. Yeah. But like my wheelhouse is Dre. I can't listen to anything that's going on. Is there music? I don't know.
No.
It's just Joe. his fingers.
Guys are having a snap off right now. A real stare down over Drake.
I mean, Drake, I'm in on him. I mean, he's flown with everybody. He's in hip hop. He's a big R&B guy. He's everywhere. He's big in social media. And you know what? I love what he's added to the rivalry. This finals could have been bad. Could have been bad. I think he might be the one of the big villains.
We wouldn't get this in any other sport. I will say this about Drake: as much as I don't like him, we wouldn't get this in any other sport where a guy
CM Punk in hockey
is in someone's face after a game. That's beautiful. Hockey, you don't get that. Everyone's too respectful, too classy. Baseball, you're too far away.
Let's be honest. No one the star caliber of Drake likes hockey either. I mean, let's just be honest about.
Yeah, you'd have like Rob Lowe or like John Hamm like getting in someone's face.
Right. The dude from Nickelback. Yeah.
It's like, through glass, too, yeah. Which doesn't help.
Yeah,
what was that chick's name from old school? Dated a guy from Toronto?
Elijah Cuthbert. Elijah Cuthbert?
She married a Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah.
She was dating Sean Avery. And then
he'll let
and
you
that
know.
Was the whole thing with those comments.
Oh, yeah. He'll let you know. So anyway, that'll do it for us, Ty.
We'll just do this for the next 3 hours. We can do that.
That's basically what we did last night, Joe. It's basically what we did today. It's pretty much been my last 2 days on the radio. It's been good stuff. Ty, thanks for hanging out for a couple hours.
Anytime.
Stay tuned for Joe and Hamlet. Maybe McCone sticking around for a little bit. You have his sub headlines right now, and then they are right on after the update.
It's the Bruins. It's the Blues. Game 3. Who pulls their head out of their asses first? 2019 Stanley Cup Final.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.